Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to You, the Best Invention Ever, featuring host Valencia Lyle Saunders, a show dedicated to inspiring you to invent something incredible, your life.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Happy Saturday. And another installment of You, the Best Invention Ever. So, I just want to say, it's kind of a rainy day, but that's kind of cool. I like rainy days. And I'm here with my riding buddy, Suzanne.
Good morning, everyone.
Rust. And I just want to give you guys an update on one of my other guests, my first guest, Ralph Rohl, the drummer and cookie man, the CEO of Soul Cookies. Now, he is doing so well, and I'm really, really psyched and for him. He's gone to Japan. He's gotten his cookies. Well, he was in Japan when we talked. His cookies are in the equivalent to the Bloomingdale's here in the United States, and they are selling out. When he was with us, he got a text that the cookies had sold out. There were no more cookies.
It's amazing.
Okay. So, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to just, you know, give Ralph a shout out and say congratulations for all his success.
Yay, Ralph!
Now, my next guest today, she's a friend of mine, and we've known each other a long time. But the topic today is resilience and transformation. And Jennifer really is someone who is extremely resilient. She has been the facilities manager at Citibank, which is a really big, you know.
Huge.
Yeah, a huge job because, you know, that's a big building over there. But also, she transitioned and she became the facilities manager for a company that had buildings in London, New York, Hong Kong, I don't think Paris, but I'm sure she made the trip because she loves to shop.
That'll get anyone motivated.
Yeah. And also she started a company called Strategies by Design, and those show houses that are here in New York that Essence does, she was part of that.
Excellent.
And she's just, you know, done a lot of amazing things. And I've been there to kind of witness them. She's also been a mom. Single mom.
Huge job in and of itself.
Married. Widowed.
Yeah.
Widowed. And as well, she is happy again in love. So, but I forgot the big one, people. Girlfriend moved to New York and lives in the Bahamas now.
Oh, really?
Now that's a transition.
Wow.
That's a transition. So, Jen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey. From the Bahamas.
I know. Jennifer Miles, everyone. So, Jennifer, how are you doing today? What's the weather like?
Oh, it's just sunny and beautiful here in the Bahamas. You know, as they say, it's better in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
I know, because it's raining today.
It's cold again.
Mm-hmm. So.
But I must say I do miss my New York and my friends like you, Valencia.
Aww.
And, you know, our friendship and stuff and having that group around me. But I still have you guys around me, so.
Absolutely. We're all just jealous.
Very. Well, I'm just waiting for you to come. Pack a bag.
So, Jen, like I said to everyone, the topic today is resilience, girl, and you are so resilient and transformation. And, you know, change and transformation is not easy for everyone, you know?
Well,
you
may it's not easy for me.
Yeah. But I've seen you, you know, and I've seen you make those transitions. And, yeah, I'm I'm like in awe because at least for me, I'm adaptable. Mm-hmm. If you throw me in, I will adapt. But as for me, making the change myself, I got to think about it.
It's a long time. I've
got to research it. Fall over it.
Mm-hmm. You know. I got to ask people. I got to stop asking people. because all these steps are big in your life when you try and take them.
Oh, they're huge. I mean, how did you start making those changes? What propelled you?
Well, let me just say this. You know, my parents gave me a great foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I know is my mother was a solid person, educator, and just smart, and just would go forth and, you know, do tough things. And I saw that in my mom, right? And my father was a creative person, and you as well know my father.
Oh, yeah,
and he was a photographer, a businessman, take a risk, start his own studio. So I had a good blend of both things in my early years of seeing, you know, you got to be able to do both. And, you know, they tell us to live our dreams. You can do everything, which, you know, women now are saying it's really hard to do everything at once because you can only do so many things well.
Right.
You know, the things that I wanted to do well, and I knew this is once I had my son, I wanted to raise him well, but I also wanted to have a career. And maybe that's why it took me so long to get married. Okay?
But, I hear you.
You know, and one of the things, you know, you had said to me earlier are those touchstone moments when you say yes and no. Okay, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When Julie, my son, was 2 years old, and he's now 30, I needed to get a job. So I went into a temp agency in New York and took a typing test. And the machine stopped in the middle of the test. And they said, well, everybody take the paper out and start over. Now, I couldn't really type. So I said, that was a quick second decision. Do I start over or do I start from where I left off? Well, I kind of cheated a little and started where I left off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got the job. And a month or so later, my boss says, you're really an awful typer, but you are such a great and here. And my goal was that I was going to be a better typer because I probably could type about 20 words a minute. And when I worked there for a while, I ended up typing 50 words a minute, learning the Wang and other machines. So there was a gut moment. At that moment, do I go forth and do this? But behind it, I put good action, good attitude. So I don't feel ashamed of that little cheat, you know? That got me into the business world or working in an office, you know?
I think you made a great point. That little bit of shame, you said, I have no shame about that little cheat because it was that, like you said, that touchstone moment where you're like, you know what, I got to go for myself.
Right, right. So you have to have the courage to do that.
Yeah, and you know what? In that moment of that little cheat, it did not hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and so there's, you know, a fine line between, you know, making a decision that's going to hurt someone and making decisions that are going to move you forward, you know?
Right.
So you have to weigh those moments for yourself and say, and pray on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in prayer. You can, you know, ask the universe. If you don't believe in God, ask the universe to bring that good karma to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the moments that I know propelled me forward. Now, when at Citibank, as you mentioned, I just met some great people. And I'm still friends with them. I started there in 1984. I'm still friends with them. And Valencia, you were along for part of that ride as well.
Yeah, I was.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you have to know is that people being kind, people with good attitudes, they want to keep, you know, when you're like that, people want to keep you around.
Mm-hmm.
And you are putting a good foot forward, you know? And, you know, I got the job at Citibank, and one of the reasons I never wanted to work in a bank, but I said, wow, I got great benefits. I have a young son. If I have to leave work, I'm not afraid that I'm going to lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that you have to make decisions on and say, yeah, I'm going to work in a place that I really didn't plan on. It wasn't in my, you know, radar. Oh, I'm going to go work for one of the biggest banks in the world. That was definitely not on my radar. I was more of an artsy and creative person. I wanted to work in a boutique, basically. But, you know, our children are amazing inspirations to actually get us to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the right thing, because I spent the next 10 years there making 4 people vice presidents and moving up to manager myself of a division. And it gave me such personal gratification that I could learn business but also have a part that was somewhat creative, because we were building off. And I got to shop, you know, for new chairs and stuff. It wasn't a shoe.
But it still was good. It's nice to be able to, you know, put yourself into the position. You know, you were not, you feel like you weren't a corporate person, you're artistic, but at least they allowed you, or you were able to make yourself, find yourself in that space and put your little bit of creativity in there to satisfy you.
Right. And, you know, because I had a son and the benefits were great, and, you know, I had a lot of freedom, you know, at Citibank, and we had a great time, Valencia. Can you say that?
Oh, yes, we did. I worked with Jennifer at Citibank. And I have to say, Jennifer, those people love you to pieces.
They love you, right?
To just think you
and I was exactly
fresh.
The same. I'm
yeah.
sorry, go ahead.
You were exactly the same. And this is one thing about Jennifer that I love. You know, you have a friend that doesn't change. You know, and for me, that always reminds me of who I am. No matter what kind of, you know, foolishness is going on in my life, Jennifer will call up. I'll hear that laugh, and I'm like, okay, I remember who I am now.
That's great. That's what the best friends for.
But, you know, it's very hard to do that, and this was in the 80s in corporate America, because, you know, as a black woman wearing braids and moving up, and people had certain attitudes. Luckily, I was surrounded also by bosses that I learned from to have the same attitude. I'm the same person in that organization, because all those things are learning moments for all of us on the planet. When you walk into my life, Valencia, that's a learning moment for me. Now, whether I choose to acknowledge it, utilize it, benefit from it, that's where we get in our own way sometimes. You know?
Right.
And we have to learn to get out of our own way and just sit, think about, you know, as you said, mull over, what are the steps that are going to get me there? What do I need to change? What do I need to do better? And, you know, that goes on every day in our lives. I mean, over small things.
Right.
But the big picture is that we're all transitioning all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
yeah, true.
Right? We're all transitioning. And, you know, I at one point was challenged, do I leave Citibank? They were laying off people. And I'm like, well, everybody else left Citibank. And listen, when I started Citibank in 84, you know, I wasn't making much money. And even though I got, I received increases, you know, 10% of nothing ain't really nothing. So do I leave Citibank? And, you know, the transition for me was, well, you know what, I have a good foundation, and everybody else that I saw that left did well. So, you know, walking out of there, I had, you know, good benefits walking out, and I was fortunate to get a job at Institutional Investor as the Director of Facilities Administration, International. And it's funny, I shouldn't have gotten that job. And the reason why I missed the interview with the president of the company, and the guy called me and said, why didn't you show for the interview yesterday? I said, isn't it today? And he goes, no, I'm so sorry. Now, you know I wasn't supposed to get that job, right?
Right.
I hang up the phone, and I call Bert, my father, and I pray. I said, oh, Lord, please, I am so sorry. May they call me back. Well, that prayer helped. And at that minute of saying to them, calling back, because this is where you have to decide, I picked up the phone and called him back. I said, you know what, I'm really sorry, but I'm so very interested in the position. He says, no problem, he'll see you today. But, you know, not that he wasn't going to call me back, but it was my motivation. Do I pick up the phone?
Right.
Do I apologize? Do I accept responsibility? And, yeah, I got that job.
Right. I know.
No, but it's great. Those are the moments you have to take, like the decision you made when you were typing. It's like, do I just wing this? Isn't the right way to do it necessarily? Isn't the right way to come in the second day with the, you know, the president? But sometimes
listen,
you take that leap and appreciate that.
Say again?
And ask. I do believe in taking chances and asking for something. Because, say, if I ask you, Valencia, right now for $10, and you say, yes, I'm $10 richer. If I don't ask you, I'll never get it.
Right, you'll never know.
Right.
You'll never know.
Right. So why not ask the question? You know, and a lot of people are afraid. Put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask somebody, can you mentor me? Can you provide me with information? What is
right.
your take? And people you may not know that you may see in church or you might have some association with. I mean, not total strangers you walk on the street, but you understand what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that when I did get the job and I walked out of there, I ran over to Citibank and I started actually crying in Chester Lee's office. He's
oh
like,
my.
What is wrong with you got the job? He's like, I was like, yeah, but I'm scared. I don't know. I've got to talk to the whole world. Oh, Lord, I'm scared. I'm going to sit and quit like never. He's like, listen, you made four of us VPs at Citibank. You better, you know, get yourself together. You can do this. It's not a problem. And I did have fear.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they do say about fear. Fortunate favors the brave, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forget who said that. But, you know, we all have fear, but it's what we do with that fear. You know, does
right.
it take over us? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do we just, like, give up? You know?
Right, right. It's that, it's like that, again, that touchstone moment where you say, all right, I have a decision to make. Am I going to fall down, roll on the floor?
Right.
Or am I going to, you know, pick myself up and say, okay, I'm scared, people. Somebody help me.
Yeah, take a deep breath and
mm-hmm.
then take it step by step.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything can be conquered. It's just taking it step by step, day by day, whatever, you know, hour
mm-hmm.
by hour.
Right.
Whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay,
mm-hmm.
you have been through a lot of, you know, you've been with me right through my ups, my downs,
yeah.
my moving forward. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's challenges that we all face. And what do we learn from them? How does it change us as a person? And what are you going to do? When your luck is down, where else are you going to go but up? So with that, no, but seriously, when you say that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's real. And you can put it on paper. I'm at the bottom.
Right.
You know? And that's what they say to addicts and everything else, they say they have to hit rock bottom. So
mm-hmm.
we can be not like an addict, but, you know, where we feel our bottom is as an individual where, oh, man, things aren't working out in my life, this
mm-hmm.
and that. Well, all you can do is take one step at a time.
Right.
And that's what I've done. I mean, you know, after corporate America, I went to work for my church organization. I started doing residential properties.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I've always had that creative and art side to me, and I was lucky that Essence Magazine, they were opening a show house in Harlem, and the director at Essence called me and said, Jennifer, we need furniture. We need stuff. We hear you
mm-hmm.
can do that. And so they signed me as design director. I brought in other people because I've always been an open person, and one of the things that I think a lot of people do, they want to put everything in their name, mine. It's
mm-hmm.
all about them.
Right.
And we make everybody subordinates. And, you know, I really believe collaboration, we get the best
mm-hmm.
Business plan, best design, best opportunities. When we share those experiences with others and bring them in, you
mm-hmm.
can do something much better than me. I mean, of course, Valencia, you can sing better than me. You can do a lot of you can make grits better than me, I'm sure. And, you know, we have to know that when you have your real friends and people you work with, bring them in. They make you
mm-hmm.
look good.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have to have
your
ego in a certain place to be able to do that. And I think those are the people that succeed best
right.
when they put their egos in check and realize that it can help your friends, it can help enhance you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's what goes back to getting in your own way.
Right.
You know, when your ego is getting in your own way. mm-hmm. you know, and asking for help, you know. So, you know, and after that, my son Julian, mm-hmm. Miles Lockhart, mm-hmm. his father was the actor, Calvin Lockhart, of a lot of movies like Cotton Comes to Harlem.
Right, I remember him.
First black actor in residence at the Royal Shakespeare Theatre at Stratford-upon-Avon, who did leading roles.
Mm-hmm.
Very gorgeous man, and mm-hmm. we didn't talk for over 24 years. And you know, being a single mother is hard, but being a single mother whose ex, her son's father, is on TV and doing anything, and trying to keep your son protected. And I mean protected is when you're a single parent and the other parent doesn't want to be involved. Do you tell your child that? Do you damage your child? Why do they not want me? And that's a touchstone moment for me as well. How do I deal with this to ensure that Julian believes he's valuable, he's loved?
Right.
Well, first
right.
of all, I surround him by my whole crazy family, a grandpa that wouldn't do anything, his uncles, his godfather, mm-hmm. friends of mine. You know, and you know, Valencia, I mean, my father's babysitting you're a hazy and your daughter, so.
That's right. Like, I used to call him grandpa.
Exactly, she did. So, surrounding him with people like that and saying, well, you know, he's a really good actor, but he's not a great father, but he's a really good actor, and mm-hmm. just not letting Julian be damaged by that. And so being a single mother, and I tell you, without my friends and family, I was a single mother when you write it on paper, but it was like this group of people who mm-hmm. were supposed to be anywhere.
A loving community.
Right.
That's, I think, the best thing you could have done for him.
You know? And, you know, a group of people. It takes a village, you know?
I have to tell you, Jennifer, you did that. I was in that. I think I'm in that group.
But you did it
with such humor and fun. Even the tough times, we ended up laughing hysterically about it. Even when you're like, I want to kill that boy.
It was funny. Yeah, I mean, there's a book Jackie Kids should write, and it's stories about what happened with our kids and, mm-hmm. You know, little short stories and the reason why. You know, us mothers can laugh about it now, even laugh then, but we would help each other through that moment. I can't believe my son, I'm going to kill him. I'm like, no.
Don't kill him before I kill mine. You got to get
there with me. Like, oh, yeah, I remember one time my son did something that was so bad that Bernadette came up to spank him. It's like, your turn.
You got 10 mothers.
That's a godfather as well.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then, you know, Julian was about 24.
Yeah.
6 years ago. And, you know, my father had passed, and I kept on saying, well, where is Calvin? I got to find him before he's getting older. And I don't want him to pass, and Julian's never spent any time with him. So I kept on going in the internet and calling, and finally I found the phone number for him. And it was an amazing moment when I called him, and I was like, you remember me, Jennifer, I mean, your son is 24 now. And all he said is, just tell me about my son. And I guess he had grown in a different way before. His ego and his movie stardom was his main thing. Mm-hmm. But to find out that Julian had a grandmother, because my mother had passed when Julian was sick, he had a grandmother and all his family in the Bahamas. So as mm-hmm. we began to talk, he says, you know, why don't you move to the Bahamas? Let's get married. And I said, wow, I don't know this man. I mean, he was my first love.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I, you know, believe that I can take care of myself and that, you know, I'm going to take this leap of faith. And, you know, most children see their parents get divorced. Well, Julian saw his parents forgive, make up, love each other again,
mm-hmm.
and wait, and get married. So,
wow.
You know, many seem to be inspirational to a young man about love and forgiveness, those are moments that, you know, by example.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I just want to say my recollection of that, because when you left to go to the Bahamas, there was this big party, and you were surrounded by all the people who loved you. And it was such a heartfelt moment, and it was like a Cinderella moment for me. And I was like, you know, Jen,
I'm going to cry now. I'm going to
cry. I don't even know anyone.
And I'm like, Jennifer, you know what? You made me believe in fairy tales again, because this was just such a moment. Like you said, forgiveness, reconnecting.
It's incredible. It's a great story.
Yeah, it was, and it was a beautiful afternoon.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately he died 6 months later, but it was a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And as Julian said at his memorial service, he said, now this is a new chapter. I opened this chapter and other people can help me fill these pages. But I had those moments with him. And he said he was forever grateful for me for never totally closing the door and
mm-hmm.
the work to make that path and us to connect. And I'm, you know, I was just in tears then too, okay?
but again, it's a bigger reason not to have disparaged his mm-hmm. father along all those years when you were struggling and trying to make ends meet and do things. And I think it's very, very hard to resist doing
right.
that sometimes. I think a lot of women do make that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationships are different with a child than they are with their mother. So,
right.
you know, kudos to
you
for being
angry.
Able to do that.
Yes.
And
yes.
it makes me angry. And here again, we get in our own way. Our
mm-hmm.
own anger and resentment can stop how other people receive us and give to us.
Right.
100% true. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so if I go at it yelling at someone, why would they want to receive me well or give to me or open their heart? Even
right.
after a long time,
mm-hmm.
you've got to get past, you know, angry and emotional moments sometimes, and not saying that you're not allowed to have it, but how you let it go and process it, you know?
Right.
How you
right.
express it. You can say, listen, I've been angry for so long, and I've been hurt for so long, but I'm not going to stop it. And put my, you know, stop me in my tracks. I'm not letting
mm-hmm.
anger and resentment for old things stop me from my future.
Right. And I think we make that mistake. We can't see that there's a future beyond this point, beyond this anger,
mm-hmm.
beyond anything else. Like, the anger is the destination.
It consumes so much. I mean,
yeah.
have you noticed
yeah,
that? Like, you're around this darkness when you're around it, when you're angry, it takes so much air out of the room and you're
mm-hmm.
just so drained. And to live
a
whole
life
drain. Based on that is just,
yeah.
You know, it's there's nowhere
yeah.
to go with that.
No.
It's a ball and chain,
mm-hmm.
you know?
You drag
it's
it with
ball
you
and chain. I mean, it's been many times I sat with Valencia and Bernadette and my
mm-hmm.
sister Susan Miles Fletchburg, and we sat in church together at Abyssinian, and we prayed on different things, and we've been
mm-hmm.
through this and that and so forth and so on. So let me bring this up, prayer. And
mm-hmm.
because I believe in asking the universe and saying to each other, I feel so hurt, I feel so down, and having people say those words to you and pray for you and with you,
mm-hmm.
that's a strong alliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, building those strong alliances that even in the moment where you can't say, oh, I'm going to save your house or this and that, I'm going to be with you during this, and I will do
right.
anything I can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can I take you to dinner to make you feel better? So when we have those, build those type of friendships and relationships, any transition that we go through, we can lean on one another. And
right.
people have to, you know, people, and I'm not talking about, you know, just, like, I may not talk to Valencia for several months, but
mm-hmm.
I know, if I pick up the phone,
mm-hmm.
we'll be right. And so those are the relationships that you build that you trust and you know are heartfelt, you know? And I'm
right.
lucky I got a bunch. I got a whole bunch, Chad.
Oh, girl. You got more than your average person.
Okay, I have them here now in the Bahamas. And I'm so fortunate. I've built some great friendships. Some
mm-hmm.
of them are as crazy as y'all. And, you know, and then I'm lucky. Okay, so my husband passed away in March 2007. And a friend introduced me to a man. His name is Clint Moultrie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, he's nice looking, this and that. But guess what? He does house renovations.
Uh-oh. Still in the pocket.
Oh, God. The best of me can be realized.
If
I designed it, he will build it. So, and he's actually sitting right here looking at me. No. And I have to tell you, he's one of the best men I ever met. His heart is good. He's kind. He grounds me. He's, you know, he's simple in the sense of he doesn't need a lot to make him happy. He needs, you know, a scuba tank, a fishing pole, a beach, our dogs, my food, and some good
cheese. Way to a man's heart. It's through his pee and his stomach.
So it's now 4.5 years later, and we're together, and I'm very happy, and I love him. And I'm loving
him. Oh, you know what, Janet? I'm really happy. Yeah, I'm really happy.
It's a great story. I love the process of someone's happiness and the steps that it took a long time to pass through to get to that place.
And you know, before we went looking, you know, I wasn't looking. You know, mm-hmm. and that's how those things in the universe happen when you're not looking, okay?
Right. It just sneaks up on you and say, ha, got something for
mm-hmm.
you. Well, Jen,
and you know.
Go ahead, girl.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, but, you know, one of the last things I wanted to say is that I believe in self-determination. And, you know, I'm still learning from that. Right now, every day I open up this book I've been writing for the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to a friend's father, and he's like, listen, it took me 10 years to write my book, and it was about my life. I was like, okay, then I feel good about this, you know,
right.
because the story, you know, it's about the ancestors and how I visualize certain things. So it's a tribute to my father in the sense how he would always call me and say, can you believe this? Turn on the TV. And so
mm-hmm.
many things happened after he passed that I wish I could call and talk to him about. So
right.
it's a story like that. And I keep working at it. And we'll see, hopefully one day.
We'll have you on to discuss your new book.
Well, somehow I feel you're going to get it done. I have this feeling. You'll be back.
Well, thank you, ladies. This has been wonderful.
Oh,
you are
so welcome, Jen. I love you, too. And I just got some closing comments and thoughts before you run away back to the sunny Bahamas.
Okay.
And I just want our listeners to think about some of these really excellent points that you brought up about life and you know, how to make those transitions, how to make those steps, how to make those hard things not as hard. And some of the things I wrote down were get out of your own way. I think that's a fine point that we should all gravitate to and take to heart. Get out of your own way because you don't know what you're blocking.
Right.
You know? And we're transitioning all the time. So, you know, instead of making this idea of transition like this big, gigantic ball of yarn we can't, you know, understand
right.
or unravel, just think of all the little transitions you make every day.
Right.
Collaboration is the key to success. Take your, you know, look at who's in your circle of friends, communication,
mm-hmm.
and get that ego out of the way.
Right. And ask. Be afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to ask.
We're happy to help.
Yep. Like Suzanne and I.
Yeah.
and people and self-determination. Self-determination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also lean on your faith. Ask the universe, ask whatever it is you believe in
mm-hmm.
to be a partner with you in a situation, in a moment, in whatever it is you're trying to do. So, girl, thank you. Thank you so much. I love you.
I love it. Okay, Valencia.
All right, sweetie pie. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
I love her
a
lot.
And always the Coco Express. They're fierce.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, that was cool.
That was great. I loved hearing her story.
Yeah, I've known Jennifer for so long, and like I said, she's one of those people
who is always like this, that laughs. You know, she's always been like a really open book.
Yeah, no, she's great. I mean, you can feel her energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very positive. I'm not surprised that she was able to go through all the steps and people didn't mind that she called on the wrong day. Or,
yes.
You know, when you have the right energy to you,
yeah,
the right attitude,
yeah,
a lot of good things come your way.
Yeah, I've always admired that about her. I'm like, how does she do that?
She pulls it off.
Yeah, she just says, okay, I'm wrong. Okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, next. What's the next step? That's what you got to do.
Which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we're going to have 15 minutes of rust.
That's me.
That's Suzanne Rust. And what are we talking about today, girlfriend?
Well, I thought we'd kind of talk about this blog that I wrote a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was called The Case for Not Looking Like Hell, Valencia.
Ooh, are you talking about me?
No, not at all. You know, but I had some hesitation when I started writing it because I didn't want to come off superficial.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm all about... I believe that you should go out of the house looking like a pulled-together person.
Yeah, a little something.
Yeah, because you just never know who you might meet.
That's right.
And specifically, I had a situation a couple months ago where I was going back from the gym,
mm-hmm.
and I had to run downtown and pay some bills, and I said, oh, I'm not going to bother going home. Let me just this one time. I'm just gonna go straight.
Mm-hmm.
So I slumped out from the gym with my hat on my head and my sweatpants, and that's just, I don't consider that my best look. Sure enough, I get off the subway. Who do I see? This producer that I had met with a year before, 6 months before, and I wanted to reach out to him, but I never found the right time. There he was, standing there. I could have just reconnected, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't look camera ready. I was like, I think not. Perhaps I will not do this. So I kicked myself in the head,
uh-huh.
and I said, back to my premise, just always leave feeling comfortable and confident,
yeah.
you know, and I was surprised the reaction I got from the blog, because so many women had come through to say the same thing.
Right.
And it's not a superficial thing.
No.
It's a kind of self-preservation. You want to present your best self to the world. I feel better when I'm pulled together.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's widely open to interpretation. Everyone feels good
right.
leaving the house.
Right.
Some people feel fabulous, no sweats. You go for it.
Yeah.
Good. If you need to do your little cha-cha heels and your push-up bra, well,
mm-hmm.
that's your look. Or it's a suit, a power
right.
suit, whatever it is.
But it's not pajamas.
I do not think it's pajamas.
I see that, and it is horrifying to
me. You know, I don't understand, because I know some people don't know how to pull themselves together.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you need some help.
Mm-hmm.
You have a friend that always looks pulled together?
Yeah.
Talk to him. Talk to her. What do you do? Draw them in with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a question of money.
Right.
It can also not be much a question of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I don't understand. You know, and I've kind of learned how to master a little bit this kind of system for
right.
myself.
Right.
And I look at people that drop their kids off at school. I'm like, just a little effort. Just
mm-hmm.
a little.
Right.
You know,
people are looking at you.
But, you know, I'm proud and they feel good like that. That's fine. But
mm-hmm.
I just, that's not how I can roll. And
mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage people to go out.
Put on a little lip gloss.
Look at on their best. You know, it's like you get, it's about finding the right pieces, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to be expensive. They have to sit well. You could go to the Gap, go to H&M.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can go to Balenciaga, well, good for you.
Right.
But not all of us can do
yeah.
that. You know, so you're finding your pieces, your perfect, you know, jean, a nice dark wash jean,
mm-hmm.
a black jean,
mm-hmm.
a trouser, whatever you like. You get maybe five pieces that you love, that you know that fit you well.
Mm-hmm.
You've got those in your closet. Are you a sweater person in the winter? What's your sweater? Get 3 or 4 of those.
Mm-hmm.
Your boot. A nice
mm-hmm.
cut boot. Again, doesn't have to be expensive, but you line those things up in your closet. A really nice handbag if you're a woman,
mm-hmm.
a nice pair of boots, a pretty scarf, a couple pieces of jewelry that you know always work with different things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're foolproofing
right.
your wardrobe. And I call it like the special anti-frump coat of armor. So you go to that closet, you're not like, oh, not that one, because that bunches up when I walk. Or
right.
that's too low, I'll be pulling up more,
uh-huh.
pulling down your skirt or
right.
the pantyhose that don't fit. Make sure you have everything that works.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to your closet, you got everything that works.
Yeah.
You know, you're not there because I don't have time to try on 3 outfits before I leave the house in the morning. I'm not
right.
that vain. What I'm pulling out has to work.
Right.
So it takes effort a little bit in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you don't have someone, if you can't do it, if you don't have the eye, get someone. Most people are happy to share that little wisdom with
right.
you, and they'll come with you shopping. So that's the thing that I emphasize. Just have the right pieces. That way you don't have to spend the time. You're always going to look nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel better. I feel better as
yeah.
I prepare for, you know, an article or an interview. I want to be prepared.
Yeah.
I want to be ready. I want to present my best self. And I think that has to do also with the way we look.
Absolutely.
They don't have to be a beauty queen.
No.
But, you know, wash your hair, cut your nails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't have time to paint them, get them, buff them, do something. Because people do notice these things.
Yeah.
They do take it into account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel the same about makeup.
Just a little lip gloss.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think as we age, you know, we get a little older.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, fresh face doesn't look so fresh.
A little bit of a harsh truth.
You know, so for me, my face takes 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
My just regular dab of concealer under the eye, a little blush, a little mascara.
And
hopefully
she's pretty, okay, so.
Thank you, but I did my little thing today. I'm casual, but, you know, I'm like, I'm coming to the radio, I'm not walking the street, I'm going to see my friend.
Right.
Give a little effort.
Yeah,
my
going
friend,
to work.
Brush
okay.
my teeth.
Thank you.
But, you know, I kind of encourage people to do it, and I don't think it's that hard if you give it some thought. I had a friend who's in her 40s, beautiful woman, works for a company with a lot of young people. So they're very casual.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her for coffee, and I looked at she was wearing a tracksuit. And it was a nice tracksuit,
mm-hmm.
but she's wearing a tracksuit.
To work.
I said, are you allowed to come and work? She's like, yeah, we kind of are, but, you know, being that one of the older people there, she kind of wanted to blend with them, but
mm-hmm.
I was like,
mm-hmm.
do a pencil skirt and a sweater and a pair of flats. You're a grown woman.
Right.
You know, your boss is going to promote you a sweatsuit. You know, it's a little thing.
Not.
She agreed. And she
said,
I was right.
Yeah.
And so many people did, and it made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be harsh to anyone. I didn't want to judge anyone.
Right.
Be
out there,
you know, be more comfortable in whatever they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people aren't. They don't really know how to pull that together, and it's not a hard thing.
And I was struck by one thing you said, have a few good pieces, because I think we think that having more things means that we have the right things.
It's not necessarily true.
Which is not always the case.
It's not, and, you know, quality is always preferred, because
mm-hmm.
usually those things last a little bit longer,
yeah.
and they sit a little bit better.
Right.
But you don't have to have a million things, a million junky things.
Yeah.
You know, buy what you really love.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy something, you walk in the shoes and they hurt in the store. Please.
Right.
If they're not going to get more comfortable.
Right.
You know, the pants that I'm like, well, when I lose those 5 pounds.
Dress for what you got right
dress
now.
Dress what you got. Maybe, you know, whenever you lose that 5 pounds, you mm-hmm. the pants.
Yeah.
But don't do that, because that hurts yourself. Because you put them on, you feel awful.
Right.
And they hang, and they get dusty, they get moldy.
Yeah.
You feel awful.
And you spent that money.
You know,
so
it's just a lot of thought that goes into it.
Yeah.
But it's important.
And be the person that you are right now.
Yeah.
Like your friend. She wasn't, you know, a 20-something-year-old.
No.
She was a 40-something-year-old.
Right.
And the tracksuit was cool, and she was...
Yeah,
but she was going to work in this.
Right, and so, you know, she agreed with me, and I think people are happy.
Mm-hmm.
They really are, because I see it a lot, and it's like, oh, you look so nice, what do you do? I'm like, it's just a t-shirt.
Right.
But it's about this t-shirt that I like and these jeans
mm-hmm.
that I like, and it's just simplifying your closet.
There you go.
You know?
I know.
Nothing. It takes nothing.
It doesn't, and that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to simplify my closet.
Come and help you. That can be arranged. For you, for free.
For free. Oh, that's cool. Well, Suzanne, as always, I love having my 15 minutes of rush.
I love doing them.
And we're going to be doing some more fun stuff in the future.
Excellent.
We're planning on a roundtable,
mm-hmm.
real discussion about stuff. We're not going to give away the title yet, because it's going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to that. And I also want to say that this month we've had some other great people on the Cocoa Express Network. You know, we've been having that, you know, the big topic is the young man who was killed.
Mm-hmm. Trayvon.
Yeah, Trayvon. And there was a discussion about that on the Cocoa Express, and I think it got a lot of attention from people, and it was
sure it did.
Very heartfelt, and I feel for his parents. I'm a parent, and I just couldn't imagine. I can't imagine what they're going through.
I can't either. It's just something we can't seem to talk enough about.
Right.
And I have a son.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about him all the time.
Yeah.
And every mother's had the talk. I saw the talk shows this week, everyone from Wendy Williams to Gayle King.
Mm-hmm.
Had to lay it out straight.
Yeah.
When you've got a son, an African-American son, there's certain conversations that unfortunately...
You
have to play, no matter what you do, whether you're a fancy lady or, you know,
mm-hmm.
the lunch lady,
yeah.
and you've got a son of color, there are different conversations that need to be had. And it's very sad, but it's clearly true.
It's the truth. You have to watch your back, and you have to watch, you know, so many things that you think it's unfair.
It is unfair, because you are changing their spirit,
mm-hmm.
but the world reacts to them in different ways.
Right, and I think
you have to prepare them
right.
a little bit without squashing the spirit. You've got to let them know, and they see on their own.
Yeah.
It comes with the territory.
Right.
Women hold the bags. My
mm-hmm.
son noticed it when he was got to be a little taller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son's not stealing anyone's purse.
No.
And he's just hard feeling, you know, to see that reaction.
He's the one who's chasing, trying to get
exactly.
the bag back.
Exactly. But, you know, so
but they can't
read
that.
You a certain way, and
yeah.
it's very unfortunate. We're not getting rid of the stuff so easily. You can see on the comments for the Hunger Games. All those racist comments from young people who we kind of hope to, been able to shake some of those.
Yeah.
And I found it extremely painful
right.
to read those tweets.
And you know what? Unfortunately, it is what it is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do what we do every day.
Yeah.
You know, we have a voice. Everyone has a voice. And to let that voice be positive instead of negative is where you get the shift. And the shift comes one person at a time.
Right.
You know, if one person changes their attitude, they influence other people,
mm-hmm.
we hope.
Right.
But that's our time for today.
Great.
And I'm glad you could join me. And Suzanne, you can check her out on her blog. It's called Living with Russ, blogspot.com.
Yep.
And you can see some more of these fun blogs she likes to put out there. And get on our case. So no pajamas. Okay?
No pajamas.
Anybody with no pajamas on at the subway, anywhere.
Nowhere. We don't see you. We don't care.
Right. And I just want to say thank you to Jennifer Miles for, you know, her openness, her honestness. And please check us out on thecocoexpress.com and see what's coming up. All right. Later, party people.
Welcome to You, the Best Invention Ever, featuring host Valencia Lyle Saunders, a show dedicated to inspiring you to invent something incredible, your life.